Shalom, and welcome to Tehillim Yomi, Psalm 4. Lamenatzeach b'niginot mizmor leDavid. For the chief musician, menatzeach, b'niginot, on the strings of the songs, mizmor, a song of David. What an interesting beginning. I begin with Midrash Tehillim, which is a collection of early Midrashim written around the 11th century, and they collected older Midrashim rabbinic homilies and explanations on Tehillim, and they put it all together into a book. It was originally called Shochar Tov. In the beginning of its commentary to this psalm, the Midrash notes that there are not one, but three musical references in the title, Menatzeach, Nigun, Mizmor. Now, we noted in the last class that the more rational interpretation is that it refers to some musical direction when it was sung in the temple. Indeed, the word minatzeach means conductor, and niginot, strings. So we can imagine that they're in the temple and then, you know, the conductor, you know, says, hit it, and the strings and the cymbals, and it's very possible. But that's not the way the Midrash goes. The Midrash delves into the question of the etiology, the word, the root of the word of minatzeach, and nigun, and mizmor. The following radical idea is presented regarding the word minatzeach. First of all, the Midrash says that it's interesting that there are three words that are used, nitzuach, nigun, and mizmor. It says, and mizmor we've already discussed in the previous section, but here, niginot, the Midrash says that refers to prophecy, nevuah, and it brings a verse from Melachim Bet, which refers to when you want to have prophecy, abahaya kinagin haminagin. But then it says something wild with regard to minatzeach. Minatzeach doesn't mean conductor. Minatzeach means the one who is defeated. Who's defeated? The one, capital one. It's referring to God who is defeated. Now, this idea of God being defeated by man is heresy. How can you say such a thing? The Midrash can, because the Midrash knows that when we're reading the Midrash, it's teaching us something provocative to get us thinking about the idea. It continues to say that God, as opposed to flesh and blood, is happy when he's defeated by Israel. Reminds us of the famous story in the Talmud where God says, Nitzchuni banai, nitzchuni banai. Wow, my sons, my children, they have defeated me in their interpretation of the Torah. And this is a message that they learn, the Midrash learns here from Minatzeach. The power of the Midrash here is that it pushes boundaries. It has audacity. It makes us think. And that's what we'll see whenever we read Midrashim at Tehillim or Tanakh in general. And now to the psalm. In the text I sent out last night, I highlighted some words in red. All these words, you might have noticed, were repeats of the same words used in Psalm 3. So many similar themes. If you look at it, the words Bikari, Aneni, Elohai, Batsar, Kvodi, Bikari, Rabin, Eshkava, Ishan, and it seems like it's repeating the exact same psalm. What's going on? Not only that, but it has the Mizmor, the psalm has the same amount of verses as Psalm 3, 9, and the same type of structure as Psalm 3, three sections in which similar themes are presented, direct calling out to God, confronting with certain people, B'nai Ish, she calls them, who do not choose God and may be considered to be a rival of David, as well as a concluding section returning to God and placing faith in him. Let's read. Lamenatzeach b'niginot mizmor leDavid, b'kor'i aneni Elohai tzidki, batzar hirchavteli, chaneni ushmat tfilati. For the chief musician, as we said, hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. You have enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. We read the same distress in David's voice and of his prayer of calling out to God And it's a direct call, just like in Psalm 3. But there's a difference here. And really, it's throughout the entire psalm. The difference is his tone. This is not crisis David, but he's engaged in discussion. He's not bivarcho mipnei Avshalom beno, he's running away from his son. But perhaps he's sitting in tranquility, thinking about his day or his week. So the themes may be similar, but the key is the circumstances which motivate him to speak. In the second longer section, he turns away from God to Bnei Ish. Admech vodi lechlima te'avun rik tebakshu kazav sela. Udu'u ki ifla Adonai chasidlo, Adonai yishma bekori elav. Rigzu v'al techatau am imru bevachem ad mishkavchem bedomu sela, zivchu zivchei tzedek, uvitchu el Adonai. O sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? You love vanity and seek after falsehood, Selah. But know that God has set apart the godly man as his own, and the Lord will hear when I call to him. You should tremble and not sin. You should commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Here is a softer David. He's debating, but also offering advice, dispensing wisdom, and suggesting that they continue to sacrifice to God and trust in him. David can have the same type of poetic message 20 more times in Tehillim, yet each one will be unique to his circumstance, and therefore his tenor, his attitude, his interaction with people, and ultimately his connection with God will be different. The final section reads, Rabim Omrim, he turns back to God, Rabim Omrim, mi yireni tov. Nesa aleinu or panecha Adonai, natata simcha bilibi, meit ganam b'tiroshan rabu. B'shalom yachtav eshkeva v'ishan, ki ata Adonai levadad, lavetach toshiveni. He says to God, there are many who say, who will show us good? O God, lift up your light and your countenance, shine your light upon us. You've put more gladness and joy in my heart than they who have corn and wine are increased. I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you, God, alone make me dwell in safety. In this last section, he calls out to God and expresses his desire that God shine his light upon us, not just him. He says, you put joy in my heart, in peace I sleep and awake. For God alone, you provide that essential trust of guarding over him, watching him. And even toshiveni is the last word, return me. Is David reciting the psalm while still in exile, but in a better place and therefore more convinced that God will ultimately return him to power? Perhaps. What is sure is that there is great comfort in reading these words. We feel what he feels. Time has healed some wounds, and that light which was hidden in the darkest time is beginning to shine once again. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.